Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, he will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Apparently, there are now three ways to communicate with us. This is Wretched Radio. You can email idea@wretched.org. You can text 877-282-2337. Or if you're Jimmy, you can wait for the microphone to go off and then jump all over me. What did I do wrong now?
I did not jump all over you. I just ask you to clarify yourself.
Okay. And the issue was about false teaching.
Correct.
Regarding leaving out a component of the gospel.
That's right.
You didn't ask me to clarify. It was more like, you really think that's not false teaching?
That's the other.
It was more of an accusation than it was asking for a clarification.
So you said that you talked about a false teacher and the false teaching. And I think a good teacher can teach a false teaching without being a false teacher.
Because you've just got it wrong.
That's right.
Something false.
That's right.
Right. If it's heretical, that's a problem. Unless, of course, you point out his heresy and he goes, whoa, I didn't know. I've changed. I'm right on board now. I'm Apollos. I got you now. So we've got to be careful I think that the word heresy and false teacher, they really need a little bit more precision than the way we tend to use them. So when it came to I believe the context was leaving out the wrath of God in the gospel presentation. Mm-hmm. Is that false teaching? And I said, no, it's just biffing it. However, if the individual doesn't teach that component of the gospel because they deny it, then yes, that would be false teaching, intentional false teaching. But leaving something out would be a mistake, but I wouldn't automatically put the moniker false teaching or false teacher on it. Does that clarify it a little better?
I think so. Right. I think so.
You sure?
Maybe. I'm gonna chew on your answer for a while, and then during the break, I'll tag you.
You want a piece of nicotine gum to go with?
Three.
You can't handle three.
All right. This next, it's not a question. Maybe it is. This is from Mark. He tagged you too. From Perth, Western Australia. Todd, my 12-year-old son, Maximus,
is a killer name.
Maximus.
You know what? Maximus, your bar is high, dude.
Well, it's only going to get higher.
You better be a manly man with a name like Maximus.
He is a keen, wretched listener. Being homeschooled.
Okay, sorry. Keen. Uh-huh. Maximus, who's writing this text or email? You got good word selection. Maximus and keen.
Uh-huh. Being homeschooled, he fits his listening of Wretched into his daily routine. I have, however, recently busted him listening to Wretched when he should have been working on his math. Can you give him a stern Mr. Friel warning?
Yes, I can. Maximus, while we are called to honor our parents, there are times when you just cannot let them force you to sin. So keep listening. Did I get that right?
That's good.
Did I do this? Okay. Maximus, how old? He's 12?
12.
Dude, you are so ahead of the pack, man. You are just so ahead of the game, dude. Well done, but sorry. When it's time to study, you got to do your studies. This will apply, by the way, when you are off on your own and you're doing work, your boss can tell you, as long as it's not commanding you to sin, of course, you got to do what the boss says. And in this instance, the boss would be Dad, who's a really good wordsmith. So you're going to have to do what he tells you to do and then listen whenever that you can fit it in otherwise. And I can tell you this, that will benefit you. Honoring your dad will benefit you more than listening to this, because you're being godly. You're obeying the Lord who says, honor your father and mother. And if you can especially do it joyfully, oh, dude. And don't feel like you're sinning. When it's time to work, it's time to work. So what applies now is going to apply later. And dude, I just got to give you props. Well done. I think older people like Jimmy would do well to be on the lookout when a young man is doing good, when a young man is being godly, when a young man, for instance, shows up for church every Sunday. And not only that, but doesn't mope and, you know, blend and come on, let's go. Can we get going? We got to encourage that behavior because that's the stuff of manhood. That's what makes you a Maximus, doing godly things. So, dude, be encouraged. And a shout out to the rest of us. Encourage young men's good behavior when you see it. 877-282-2337.
Here, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I'm an elder at my church. A few months ago, we had a member of the church caught in sexual sin. We disciplined him according to the biblical principles as per our bylaw, and he turned away from that sin.
Oh, good.
Now he is discipling some of the younger men in our church who were not aware of the situation. I discussed this with the other elders. While I believe he is sincere in his repentance, I believe that he should be under teaching for a while until he disciples anyone. What say you?
I'd say sit down with those guys and hash it out. That's what I would say, and get collective wisdom. And if they do say, make a decision, I think if the collective makes a decision you disagree with, you can go, okay, all right. Because that's kind of how we have to work inside of the body. But I would say this, praise God that the dude turned away from it. Praise God that he wants to help other people. That's a good thing. Should you choose to say to him, hey, it's probably good. Let's do some discipleship first. Let's give it a little season here. Because I think we've all seen this pattern before. Somebody has got a sin. They are ensnared to a sin. They get released from that bondage and they immediately want to jump into that ministry. Now, there's no biblical rules on that, but wisdom would suggest let's give it a little time here. Let's give it a little breathing room. Let's make sure the theology, let's make sure that the repentance is genuine because there's a season of it and that they're not just excited about it because I've seen this, I'm not suggesting this about the individual in question here, but it keeps them close to that former sin that they loved. It's maybe not doing it, but it's talking about it. And you just want to make sure that isn't the case. So I say wisdom should prevail in this situation. Jimmy, I've got that was a good news email. Yes. I got another one here.
Okay.
All right, let me see if I can, this is about 6 months ago, hello, Mr. Friel. Mr. Friel, but nevertheless, about 6 months ago, a member of the church I'm a pastor at showed me your video in the three-way pastor's cheat regarding referring to SBC leadership plagiarizing. That's an older video, if I'm not mistaken, using sermon writing committees and AI. Oh, sermon writing committees. I just, wow. You get a group of people together. Now, why are you in this meeting? I'm really good at stories. So I sprinkle it with stories. And what are you here for? I'm good at Greek. So I'll help make sure that the Greek is, you can throw out some aorist words because it makes you sound smarter and such. Ridiculous. Back to the email. That same day, we happened to be the host church of our annual Baptist Association, specifically the St. Joseph Baptist Association. And we had a meeting, and under new business, I tried to propose a resolution on plagiarism. Well done. But I did such a poor job because I don't know how to speak in resolution language. Yeah, you got to learn the lingo of being in those types of meetings. They told me to work with a resolution committee and bring it back to the semi-annual meeting 6 months later. Tonight, we, as 43 Baptist churches in Northwest Missouri, passed a resolution on integrity in teaching and preaching. Salute! Well done, y'all. Good job, Baptists in Missouri, because plagiarism is horrible for the church. It's horrible for the body. It's horrible for the pastor who's plagiarizing. And the AI thing, got to be careful. You just, I Somebody's going to write down some rules about using AI at some point. You know what? I think this is an assignment for Tim Challies. We need to get him on this. How do you use AI without crossing the line? There should be some prints. I think we can use it as a tool, but having it write sermons for you, oof. If that's the way that you want to go about doing it, let somebody else do the preaching, because that's just not the way that a pastor should approach the absolute weighty responsibility of dividing the word of truth for the body. And it's gonna totally stagnate your growth. It's the sermon's not gonna be yours anyway. You're not gonna be preaching with passion because you're basically reading somebody else's words. It's just awful for you. And if time is the issue, I would say you got to look at your schedule, because if you're leaning on AI, I think it's a cancer. I mean, doesn't have to be, but if that's the way that you're using it, it could be a cancer. To the folks in Missouri who said, hey, if anybody wants to know about this, we'd be happy to share the resolution. It is the St. Joseph Baptist Association in Northwest Missouri. If you can't get a hold of them, send me an email, idea@wretched.org, or text Jimmy, 877-282.
You can answer them.
Oh, that's right. Don't text Jimmy. Besides, he's going to be reeling from three pieces of nicotine gum. This is Wretched Radio.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, you're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
We live in a world where feelings are ruling the day. Truth, that's optional. Love, redefined. Your emotions, let them run wild, or better yet, shut them down completely. Neither extreme is biblical, but on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, you're going to find something rare. Intelligent talk radio for women that isn't swayed by culture. No truth bombs without love, no sugarcoating without substance, just a balanced biblical approach to the tough questions you're facing every day. Emotions aren't meant to be ignored, but they're also not meant to rule you. Boundaries aren't the answer, but neither is blind trust. And feminism, it's not about equality anymore, it's about dethroning God. If you're tired of the empty words and the shallow advice, it's time for something better. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. No platitudes, no nonsense, just the truth wrapped in wisdom. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young men struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Attributes of God.
God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I'm a little concerned. I'm just wondering if the nicotine gum is what's causing me to want a tattoo.
A face tattoo?
Not a face tattoo. Okay. Just, you know, just something with a Bible verse on it. Something like good. That. This is Wretched Radio.
Something tactful.
Because smoking and tattoos, you know, they're synonymous pretty much. 877-282-2337. I wonder if I'm going to get addicted to nicotine. That's probably why Jason Lyle said, don't chew a lot of it.
Not a lot.
Just so 10 pieces, that's going to be the end of it. Only going to do one a day. But hopefully it gives my taste buds and my sniffer a jump start. I love garlic. I would just love to taste garlic again. So come on, nicotine gum. Please send your suggestions for parasmia to idea@wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
Right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, pastors or teachers who plead the blood in prayers, aren't we already covered by the blood?
Yeah.
Is it necessary to say that?
No, I get it. I think it must be some of that evangelical sort of lingo that based on the propitiatory work of Jesus Christ, who provides us access and who promises that he hears our prayers. We're offering this petition. I think that's what it is, but I'm not entirely sure because I've never used the phrase myself. I don't think that it means pleading the blood, meaning, you know, forgive us again, cover us again. I don't think that's its usage. Jimmy, you know what this calls for?
AI.
That's exactly right.
I think it's a hymn. I think I do.
You think what?
I think it's a hymn.
The pleading the blood?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, fair enough. And by the way, you didn't use AI to find out if there are new terms for an individual who deals with cadavers. In funeral homes.
And I didn't use AI.
You actually called a human.
I did. It did.
Oh, you knuckle dragger. Okay, what did Ethan say?
Ethan said that some people are still called undertakers, but funeral directors or morticians is the most modern.
All right. I you know what? You give it time. Within the next several years, there will be a new term for undertakers. Everything has to get updated. Nobody's what they used to be. It's got to be made fancier sounding. By the way, if you are, is undertaker still cool?
Did I
hear that right? Uh-huh. Okay. If that's what you do, honestly, praise God for you. That really does require a special person to be able to do that. And perhaps you've been told this, so I'll just echo it. What you do can be such a massive blessing to families. They are in their most vulnerable, weakened state. And somebody who is good and calm and loving and understanding and warm. Oh, and not only that, but the work that you do then to present the body so that the family can begin to experience, if you will, use the term closure. That is a most awesome ministry. Please note, it doesn't need to be in a chapel like a church with a cross on it. That's a ministry. All things are ministries. Everything that the Christian does is a ministry, not because of the activity, but because of who we are. So if that's what you do, thank you. 877-282-2337. Did you use the AI machine already?
So yeah, it tells me where it came from.
All right, let's
where
hear.
The phrase came from. It's not in the Bible, obviously, we know that. But it's rooted in a more like speaking into existence type thing. It's comes from like a courtroom metaphor where someone pleads the blood before God, like a lawyer might plead his case.
Uh-huh.
So that's where it comes from.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a phrase that I would adopt.
Right.
But I don't think that somebody's a sinner if they do that, especially if they grew up hearing that. I don't think there's anything malevolent, malicious, or heretical about it. But of course, Jimmy would say, that makes somebody a false teacher.
Well, maybe.
877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Albert. Todd, does God allow depression and anxiety to break his children from habitual sin?
He can. He could actually send it to you. It's not a sin for him to do that. God will use the tools necessary to grow you because he cares, because he loves you, and he wants what is best for you. And he will either cause, if they're not sinful, or he will permit, if you will, bad things to happen to his children because he wants better for us. By the way, if depression and anxiety are something that you deal with, I know Greg Gifford now has done a number of different series on the subject of anxiety and depression. Please avail yourself of all of the Fortis podcasts. Greg's is good. So are the other ones. I'm telling you, Greg deals with biblical counseling, so emotional stuff. Brad Bigney, marriage, parenting. It's so, in fact, Brad's stuff is so good. It actually transcends marriage and parenting. It's like, okay, I'm not even thinking about that in the context of marriage, but wow, that's really good stuff. That's at FortisPlus.org also. You've got, let's see, who have I left out now? You've got Libby doing her podcast, mm-hmm. Intelligent Talk for Women, The Better Way.
Adam Tyson,
The Way of Manhood. That is an awesome podcast. He's in top 5% in the land now, too.
Dr. John Krutz.
His stuff integrated. Oh, Scylla. He's so pastoral. He's, you know what? John Krutz, I was going to say he's butter. But maybe like honey, just soothing honey.
What about honey butter?
There is such a thing.
There is such a thing, yeah.
I like it, actually. Yeah, you could put it like on toast, I'm not mistaken.
That's good
okay,
stuff.
So John Krotz, I think we need to retitle his podcast.
Honey
John
butter.
Krotz presents Honey Butter. 877. You'll find all of that, by the way, at fortisplus.org.
You left the most important podcast out.
Which is?
Fortis News. Come on. I'm just kidding.
That's daily.
It is daily.
Yeah, that's your news feature. So it's 3 minutes long every single day. You get the news from Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I mean, hey, knock yourself out. You want that. That's
feel like
all
that
there
sort of
for
thing.
You too. That's just fine.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, how can I comfort unbelievers who are mourning the loss of a loved one?
Really hard. Really hard because you don't have anything to really comfort them with. So how can you at least be gracious? Speak well of that person. You know, that he always did this. She was like that. She blessed us. I just want you to know I'm grateful for your fill-in-the-blank relationship. So I think you can eulogize and speak well of somebody. But as far as comforting them in that moment, they grieve without any hope. And we can't throw them Christian platitudes because they simply don't apply, unfortunately. Speak well, be gracious, be kind, be warm. If there's a possibility of getting into the gospel, that would be about the best thing that you could do for that individual. And by the way, speaking of eulogizing people, why not eulogize people while they're here? Rather than waiting for somebody to die. Let's speak well of others now. So if somebody in your life has been a blessing to you, don't wait for the funeral where an undertaker is going to be taking care of that mortician is going to be taking care of the person. Speak well of somebody now. It blesses all of us. It really does. And maybe now, more than, say, 10 years ago, it's nice to hear nice things, isn't it? It seems so rare these days. I've got an email here. I'm not holding my never before nicotine stained fingers. I don't know what to do anymore. This David sent this in. He asked Grok AI, if you were the devil, how would you destroy the minds of the next generation without them knowing it? First, I'd whisper in their ears through the glowing screens they hold so dear. I'd fill their days with endless noise, videos that flicker faster than a heartbeat. I'd make sure they never sit still long enough to think, to wonder, to ask big questions. Reflection? That's my enemy. Distraction? That's my old friend. If I were the devil, I'd slip into their schools, not as a horned beast, but as a soft voice in the curriculum. I tell them there's no such thing as truth, just your truth, my truth, everybody's truth. Facts, they're old-fashioned. History, rewrite it till it's a mirror of what they want to see. I teach them to feel first, think later, to shout down anything that makes them uncomfortable. Reason's a fragile thing? I'd shatter it before they even knew they had it. And here's the one that maybe stings the most. I'd cut them loose from their roots too. Family? Tradition? Faith? I'd tell them those are chains, not anchors. I'd sell them freedom. Freedom to drift, to chase every whim, to never owe anyone anything. And while they're drifting, I'd feed them a steady diet of doubt. Doubt in themselves, doubt in each other, doubt in anything bigger than their own appetites. If I were the devil. Mom and Dan, be careful what those little eyes see. Because it isn't just technology. It isn't just a classroom. This whole shebang, it's a spiritual battle. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.